You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, April 4th, 12 p.m. Fern Ridge Wildlife Area, Fisher Butte Unit. Tempestuous winds and icy storms have been suddenly replaced with calm, clear blue skies and warm, radiant sunshine. Frosty Coast Range and Cascade Peaks frame the margins of the valley with glistening snow caps. This morning, the extreme change in weather elicited broad smiles of astonished delight from everyone I encountered, overwhelming every conversation. Humanity evolved in tropical sunshine. These first spring-like days awaken irrepressible feelings of pure joy and deeply satisfying contentment. There is a sense of urgency present in the springtime that distinguishes it from the other seasons of the year. You can hear it in the honking calls of Canada geese swirling over the marsh in massive flocks. As the days lengthen, their anxiety will reach a decisive tipping point that will collectively launch them on their northward migration. There's a similar urgency in the babbling rebuke of a recently arrived male marsh wren attempting to defend valuable new territory in the protective tangle of last year's papery cattails. New green leaves renovate the yellow-brown winter landscape, bursting from buds, from the ground, and from beneath the water, crowding out others while claiming space from which to gather precious solar energy needed to produce the next generation of fruits and seeds. Clouds of algae spread rapidly in the shallow water, fueled by the brilliant sunshine and a potent cocktail of fertilizer left behind by wintering waterfowl. This microscopic fecundity supports new swarms of tiny swimming and flying insects. The everyday struggle to simply survive is superseded by the competition to produce offspring. Each species competes with its own kind in a race to claim and hold territory and to find a mate with which to pass genes on to the next generation. This urge to procreate is universal. Every plant and animal will risk all to achieve it. The competition is flagrant amidst the frantic chaos of this first truly spring-like day. Hundreds of tree swallows swoop, dart, and slice in graceful arcs above the ponds, filtering the air through clouds of emerging insects. Tree swallows are the first of their tribe to return to our area from their tropical hiatus. Unlike other swallows, they are able to subsist through cold weather on fruits and seeds while waiting for insects to hatch. Dozens of these metallic blue and white birds flutter and fight over a single nesting box nailed to a snag on the rocky shoreline. A few orange and black butterflies flit overhead, lingering in the hedgerows surrounding Fisher Butte. These are California tortoise shells. These enigmatic creatures build up their populations for years and then burst out in phenomenal mass migrations. Then, mysteriously, the population crashes. They can disappear from an entire region for several years. Rubber boots allow me to walk comfortably in ankle-deep water on the flooded portions of the trail at the base of the butte. Dozens of yellow-rumped warblers hawk insects from bare branches, chirping in between attempts. I recognize a male common yellowthroat skulking in the woody labyrinth. Each year, when I first see its distinctive black mask bordered in white against a bright yellow face, I know that spring has arrived. A male osprey flies toward a wooden platform carrying a long stick to add to its nest. Ospreys that breed in our area migrate as far south as Chile and Argentina in the winter. Immature birds usually remain there until they are 2 or 3 years old and ready to mate. Older birds tend to return to the same nest sites, with the males returning first. He claims his territory with a kind of sky dance, hovering several hundred feet above the nest, steeply diving and swooping back upward. I watch as the male carefully weaves the new branch into the already thick jumble of sticks, preparing a home for the next generation. Steve Sillette, associate professor at Humboldt State University, will speak to the Eugene Natural History Society about his research in the canopy of the cloud forests and the redwoods. His talk, Ecology and Physiology of the World's Tallest Trees, will include a few of the exploits he and his students enjoyed climbing to the top when they changed the way scientists looked at the redwood forests. The meeting will be held on Friday, April 17th at 7:30 p.m. in Room 100 at Willamette Hall at the University of Oregon. The public is invited, and it's free of charge. For more information, call 344-3327. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.